There are a lot of things that I'd like to have die. Be dead and gone, be over. Things that I want to get out of my life. There are chapters that I want to close the door on and move on. Unfortunately, or not, everything leaves its footprint. Some things, when they're happening, are so awful that it seems like they're going to destroy us. A failure, a diagnosis, bankruptcy or foreclosure, a prison sentence, or most of all, death. God's story with humanity is a story of redemption, a story of bringing good out of evil, of victory over death. From the rescue of Noah, telling us that God's will for the creation is to save it, to the rescue of Isaac, telling us that God does not will human sacrifice and has already provided for us whatever we choose to offer. From the rescue of God's people from slavery in Egypt to their rescue from exile in Babylon. In each of these stories, God is telling us, no matter how bad it is, don't despair. When Ezekiel had his vision, his dream of that valley full of dry bones, his country, Judah, had been taken to Babylon by the enemy army. And the temple, the center of their religion, and all that defined them as God's people had been destroyed. There were no cultural totems left. They were expected to assimilate into Babylon, and yet they were never fully accepted. They felt cut off from their roots, dead to the past, dead in their relationship to God, which had defined them as a people. Dead, just dried up bones. And the Holy Spirit has preserved these stories for us in Scripture so that we will hear them as a reason for hope in our dead and darkest times. And slave people have heard these stories that way throughout history. Think how the people that were brought to this country as slaves must have heard this story. They were completely cut off from their land, their people, their culture, and they were treated as subhuman. How it must have resonated for them when they heard the story of this dream in which God asks, can these bones live? And since the only rational answer was no, Ezekiel politely sidesteps it by saying, Lord, you know. So don't ask me to say yes when it seems to me like I'd be lying. I'm tossing this one back to you, God. Which is exactly what God wants us to do. When we look at the facts and say to God, God, this situation is impossible to change, then God wants us to have a dream, like Ezekiel's dream, where God says, yes, they can live. Be of good courage. Dream. Like Martin Luther King Jr., who looked at a system that other very smart people had given up on changing and said, I have a dream. Even though all the rational answers around him said, it's impossible to change. So what things in your life and in the systems around you that are crying unjust and the conventional wisdom says that no one can change, what systems like that are around you? They're not going to change unless you dream. Lots of things everyone knows need to be called into question by some active dreaming that invites the Spirit to help us see the possibilities that we haven't seen before. Because God is not constrained by our perception of the truth. Ezekiel saw bones, the remains of bodies where no flesh was left to connect them, or to move them around. Sometimes people worry that God cannot resurrect their dead loved ones if bits are missing, or if they've been cremated, or in some way can't be rationally reassembled. Pastors sometimes use this passage in Ezekiel to reassure them that God's not constrained by the physicality of the remains. There was a Methodist theologian, Wesley. He said about this story, "Not one was missing. Not one missed its way. Not one missed its place. But each knew and found its fellow. Thus, in the resurrection of the dead, the scattered atoms shall be arranged in their proper place and order." But well beyond this practical application of what happens to our dead bodies, God addresses us in this story to speak to each of us in the face of our own periods of spiritual and emotional exile and death. This story says that restoration is possible. But true restoration, just as in the story, will only occur when God's Spirit moves and is put within the communities and circumstances where you need it. It's not about you personally, but about the ways that you can envision God's dream for humanity and respond to the Spirit's call to make that dream a reality. At Pentecost, the Spirit falls on the whole community, individually, but as a group, and knits them together to carry out the dream of Jesus. The Spirit pulls them into one body, grows ligaments to hold them together and flesh to nourish them, so that that body can work in the world to carry out the dream. That's what we mean when we say the church is the body of Christ. And the church, our church, does not have an unblemished history. There are times when those in and out of it look at it and give up hope. Either the body's tearing itself apart, or it's hurting God's children. So many are willing to embrace the report that a lot of people are saying, when it comes to religion, they are none. They're opting out of the church. That looks like it's pretty dead bones. Doesn't have much to offer. Pretty hopeless. Or maybe it's not the church. Maybe when you think of hopeless situation, your thoughts go to the cycle of poverty in our inner cities, or to the drug and gang problems, or to the situation in the Middle East, or perhaps to an impasse in your own family. And it's in these situations that God is inviting you to dream. We heard the Apostle Peter quote the prophet Joel's promise that when the Spirit acts, we will see visions and dreams. He prophesies that God's Spirit will enable all of us to dream, young and old, male and female, slave and free, all of us, because all of us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, have been commissioned to be official Christian dreamers. But as we've noted, the dream of the church acting as one body has mostly remained a dream. Church history gives us cause to worry that dreaming can be divisive. What if your dream and mine are different? How do we decide which dream is better? And this is where we can turn to Paul in the Bible, who reminds us that there is always diversity and difference in the Christian body, and that that's something to be celebrated. There is but one Spirit, but that spirit produces lots of dreams. And a plethora of dreams invites us into a new world of possibilities, which are mediated by, as Paul says, a commitment to the common good. We may envision different ways to make the dream a reality, but that's a good thing. Brainstorming works when we put aside our need to be right, to be in control, to say, it's my idea, therefore it must be the best. Okay, but what if we get it wrong? What if it doesn't work out the way we dreamed? Sometimes people and congregations worry that if we dream, we might be disappointed. They're suspicious of dreams. If we just stick to the status quo, then we won't be surprised at how things work out. What is it they say? If you do what you've always done, you're going to get what you always got. Dreaming, for some, feels like just getting your hopes up in uncertain times. And if things aren't going to end well, whoa, why add insult to injury by getting ourselves even more hurt in the process? After Jesus' death, his followers felt that they were living in very uncertain times. But Jesus refused to leave his disciples mired in fear and gave them the spirit to dream that they could turn the world upside down. Jesus has given us here at Advent, all of you here today, that same spirit and invites us to think of how we can change the world too. We're going to be having our annual meeting in a few weeks and beginning a new program year. And you'll have opportunities to share the dreams that the Spirit is showing you. Think that's too big for a little congregation? Pray, and don't despair. The Holy Spirit has power to bring life, new life, life in ways that we can't possibly imagine. Beyond our imagination, beyond our ability to bear. But God is holding all things together, like those bones, providing the ligaments through the community bonds that we have. And Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit will reveal truth to us, the truth about what we're called to do, along with the means to do it, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Amen.